Dublab. Hello, everyone. This is Transduction Signal on Dublab Radio. I'm your host, Trevarsi, along with Oralee Gal. Join us each month on Dublab Radio for our show, Transduction Signal. We'll be joined by a featured guest, artist who will share their live performance. We'll break down their setup, talk about their journey, what's happening in their lives. Oralee, who do we have this month?
This month we have Nadia Strubig, which I butchered again. She hails to us from Rotterdam, and now she's residing in Berlin. She has done insane things in her career. We're going to get into that, but I'm not going to bore you with details right now. But she holds a residency in Trezor, which I think it's fascinating, and I can't wait to get into all of it.
Yeah, I have so many questions for her. She's absolutely amazing. All right, let's bring her in. Nadia. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you. Like, this is, yeah, you've done so many things. Like, your bio is so extensive and broad. Like, we just can't wait to get into all the things that you've been doing. But before we do, we would love to share your performance. Do you have anything that you want to say or?
Good question. So I think what would be nice to share is that I chose a combination of like old school gear and some newer gear. And also I'm already sorry for after a few, I think the half of it became a bit blurry, the video, and it was like, okay, shit, but it was so good in the build-up, so I left it.
Yeah, like, it's about mostly about the audio, right? Like,
exactly.
The video is just an added bonus, but the music is what we're here for.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay, all right, well then, everybody mute up, and let's enjoy Nadia Strubig.
Strubig.
Nice.
Loving it.
Let's enjoy her performance.
Thank you.
Incredible. Like, I have so many questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was so like, much. That was super cinematic, very like nature inspired, a lot of little ins and outs, like birdie chirps, and super cool.
Well, I just like that you crossed into, I feel like you went from like a down tempo-y vibe, and then like at the end it was like, well, I mean, back in my day, we called it jungle or drum and bass, sort of, you know, like yeah. All of a sudden it was like, it just went from that genre, like, but it was so smooth. Like, okay. So before we start, just for the audience that's listening, tell us what you used in that setup.
Yeah. I think, yeah. So I use for this one like three devices. One is the Native Instruments machine. Actually, we were talking about it this week.
Yeah.
And one is the Yamaha DX200, which is an FM synth, but a groove box basically as well.
Was that the one on the desk? The gray one or no?
Yes, it's the gray one. Oh, and then the blue one is the Korg Electribe, which is also a groove box. So actually, I was just, one sampler. That's the machine, of course. But the other ones were like old school 2000 machines. So, yeah.
Nice vibe. Yeah, you've been vibing what is with your, that Electribe. Yeah.
What's your attraction to all the old school machines?
I think... it's funny because like in the past, I think they designed the equipment to be very laid out. So every knob had its parameters and it was assigned to a specific movement and now these days I feel like the new kind of machines, they have these hidden features, but they are like smaller and compact a lot of times.
Like menu diving.
Exactly. A lot of menu diving. And I think that is also has its charm. But with this, like every movement I'm doing, like it does something happens already, including like I feel like the warmth, even like it's a, like FM synth is quite crispy. There is still like a sort of analog touch to it. And I just, yeah, I just love it.
Yeah. Like I love it. Like I came across your video on the Lek Tribe. I got to rewatch it. Cause I actually have one and it has like the tubes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just like, I just really treat it gingerly, you know, cause I don't want it to, the tubes to break and stuff, but I need to use it. And I was watching your video like, yeah, you do some awesome stuff with it.
Oh, I was literally going to say it's like a tube amp versus, you know, the new amplifiers, which don't have that anymore. And that the sound, the warmth in the sound is like night and day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm, and it's sort of easy to replace. So if you think like you're going to break them, they're always to find on eBay or whatever.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am so, okay, so let's talk about your time signatures. Can we just chat about that for a second?
That's sure.
Yeah, like, okay, what times do you, I mean, when you're programming drums, do you think about that? Like, what time signature you're in? Or, like, what is your approach? Because, I mean, I enjoy listening to these styles of music, like down-tempo, jump, but I've never really got into programming that. So I'm glad I can ask you, you know what I mean? Like, what?
Yeah. I always believe in I can make the impossible. So it's sort of like you feel like this is it, but a lot of times these machines can do way more, and they have a lot of, for example, they have like a, how do you say that? Not automation, but an emotion recording.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a lot of triggers and all that stuff. But whenever I'm programming it, I'm listening to something that's sort of impossible, that people are actually having this thought with, like, how does this work and sounds like not loopy, you know?
Yeah. Do you do like different pattern lengths, or are you working in a 4/4 time signature?
Yes.
You are? 4/4, oh, wow.
Yes. But okay. It's also like that Yamaha DX200 is, you only have 16 steps sequencer and that's it. So everything you work with needs it has a motion recording, I think. But yeah, I'm just trying also to really work quickly so it doesn't sound loopy. But yeah, the time frame, it's really hard to say. I think it comes really natural to me. I don't even have to think about it. It's really weird.
Well, yeah, I was reading in your bio, you connect the dots between techno, electro, jungle, and ambient, and it really comes through in your performance. We also had the pleasure to see you over in Amsterdam, and I had no idea you played anything else.
True. I think for me there is, like, genres is for me unthinkable. Like, I can't think in genres. It's for me like about an emotional journey. And I feel like if I'm attached with only techno, I feel like I can't express my art. It's sort of like I feel limited in my being. And that doesn't mean like I don't like techno for 3 hours long, because then we come to Tresor again. But it's I think having these different aspects in my life, it feels really it feels like natural, like we have different emotions and
it makes complete sense.
It's also like really refreshing that you have the support of the people that book you to say, you know, she plays different genres. She's not just constrained to the one thing, because it's really hard to explain, especially in America. Oh, I don't just do one thing. I do a lot of things and I can get booked for whatever. But I think we were talking about this in the past, that there is a lot of support in Amsterdam specifically, and now in Berlin, I believe, with that, the crossover of the genres to be able to express yourself however you feel like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's still a challenge in that way. Like, there are still like promoters that are maybe not booking me because they believe in only that techno thing, or you have a certain look, or but I always said to myself, I just want to do it my way, and if that can't be there, it's fine, but at least I'm staying true to
Absolutely.
My journey, you know. It's for me, not, it sounds really weird, it's not for me about the gigs. I live this, I breathe it, I can't it doesn't compare to money or gigs.
It's just your life, right? Like
it's my
just,
life. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. You probably know that feeling.
So what is, like, can we kind of work backwards a little, go back a little bit. So when you got it, tell us a little about getting into music. Were you playing any instruments or was it just electronic? Share some of that. Just to give us a little background.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, like I could make up a story of like I was 3 years old and I played piano and it was a masterpiece, but no. I was a child that was very introverted, but I always heard everything in frequency. So I'm really highly sensitive and I pick up with vibes and frequencies, and then suddenly I could literally, like, my first touch with a keyboard when I was like maybe 16. So it was there that I touched the keyboard and I could play directly Coldplay, which out even like knowing about scales or classical, anything.
So it's just so like by ear.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did some research, and also because I can see colors with music, and it's very, it's called like absolute hearing or something. So it's sort of a gift and a curse at the same time, because you hear everything and you can't unhear anything anymore. So it's like, but I noticed making music was for me a sort of an easy way. Like I started like a lot of raving, and then people picked me up like, hey, this girl is always there, do you want to DJ? And then I was 19 years old or so.
Like, okay, yeah. So you started DJing, like,
yes,
that, okay.
But then 2 years after that, I already had my computer with Reason on it, and I wanted to learn about the ins and outs of, like, why do we dance on this, or like what kind of feelings it gives us. And my dad was he works always in a company for technology. So he came always back home with like all these chips, and we had all these gadgets at home. So it was a sort of very natural, like, I'm not surprised anymore the day to day that my room looks like that, and that I'm sort of feeling comfortable living like that, you know? So things evolved, and I just became, like, in that time, I was sort of one of the guys, because there were not a lot of females making music or performing, right? Also, YouTube was not any, like, how it was now. It feels like I'm getting old, but hey. I was always everywhere, and I think I was just a sponge and just really putting the efforts in, and lots of community, and then releasing on labels, and yeah, it just went off. Yeah.
Okay, so starting with DJing, being a sponge, I totally relate to that. Like the community, I feel like, yeah, like having a synth community, I feel like it's a common denominator with artists, right? Like the community is everything. I see that you do a lot. In fact, in Amsterdam, you were even doing a talk, I think, for Kim Bjorn, right?
Yeah, okay. True. Yeah. I was helping there, or let's say we worked together on a lot of these things, or super booth, you know. I think it's just really important to inform people about the possibilities of what these tools can do for us, not only like in creating music, but actually also for our emotions and letting it out, and, you know, just, yeah, make art. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and those books are amazing. Like, they're so helpful. Like all
so
of them.
Much.
And yeah.
Yeah. So
if anyone's listening, we're talking about Kim Bjorn, and Patch and Tweak was the first book, and there's like a whole series, yeah. Right? Patch and Tweak was the first book.
Push to Turn and Move was the first.
Yes, that's
the first Kickstarter. Yeah.
Got you. And so there's various ones. He did a Korg He's
Roland.
And so yeah. it's nice to see that you're collaborating and working with him.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with all this? Like, honestly, how did you get to start working with him?
Yeah, so honestly, I started when I was younger. I always said, like, I want to be that woman of the tech industry and just does it. And, you know, that was a sort of dream. But in that time, I was very shy still. And this is a funny story because it was pandemic. And then I was already working with Ableton for a longer time, actually. They offered me as first people, like, hey, shall we work together for workshops? Because I was always everywhere, basically. Probably now this is why I'm so much inside, because I was always outside.
I can relate.
Yeah. and then, yeah, it started with the pandemic. All my shows were canceled and I was in Australia for a bit because I wanted to have a change of scenery, and I went there for 3 years in the pandemic. And yeah, then I started to think, like, what is I always wanted? And that always happens when things are knocked off, you know, like when your life is crumbling and then you're like, what do I really want to do? And then that thought came up again. I was like, you know what? I just really, really want to be a part of that music tech industry, because I have so much knowledge. And not only that, it's just something that scene, that community just feels like how I think and how I am as a person. So yeah, I started to do Twitch streams and then started to contact some brands of like, hey, can we maybe chat, because I really want to do something on my socials and build this community, not for myself, but just for everyone that wants to learn more about this and want to have a safe space of learning about it.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And then, it started to grow and grow. And then I think, yeah, now I worked almost with any company there out there, and I feel really grateful. Like, sort of my dreams are a reality. Yeah.
It's nice. Yeah,
that's amazing.
You're doing a lot of cool things. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, and I know in our conversation you mentioned, was that you also have a platform where you teach and tutor. Do you want to mention that and kind of maybe shout that out? I'm sure there's people that are listening that want some guidance. Yeah,
that's super kind. So also in the pandemic, I started to tutor, like, basically electronic music. And I'm doing that now for a while. And I have at the moment 10 students. And we have this 3-month program, or I make a 3-month program. And it can be basically from creating your live set, creating your first track, using different musical devices, even like self-development. Like, a lot of times making good music stands equal to diving deep into your core and see what you can bring to the table that different than your neighbor, for example. I've been very grateful to be a part of a lot of people's journey at the moment. And it's really fun. And yeah, we host it via Zoom, and sometimes they come over, sometimes not. And it's very rewarding to give back. Yeah.
That's very cool.
That's super cool. You mentioned that you moved to Australia during pandemic. Were you able to, like, actually see the scene or be able to be a part of it while you were out there? You were out there for 3 years. I'm assuming it opened back up, or no, nothing happened?
It was really hard, in all honesty, because the scene in Australia is really different compared to Europe and probably to the US as well. So I came there with the thought of very ambitious, like, you know what, I'm gonna build that IDM scene here and it will all be fine and everything will sort of happen. But
what part of Australia were you in? Just
Sydney. I was
Sydney. Okay.
Yeah. So, but there were lockout laws for a while, like, well back already, so they didn't have the proper parties like we know, especially not in Berlin. I started, actually have some bookings, but very, you're like a new person there. So they are like, yeah, your fee is minimum and you get like not the prime times. And I had to rebuild, basically. Gladly, a lot of people picked me up there because I was just playing at house parties again. And it was awesome. It was like the best vibes. And then I started to play in clubs again, but I started to host my own night as an interactive idea. So I had a booked out like a little bar club, and then we had a stream coming in from Europe. So like one of the artists I know, and then I was having a talk with them, but then that whole club thing was streamed again on Twitch. So it was an interactive kind of way. So I could still book people from abroad whilst it was pandemic. So it was really a cool experience. And I think, you know, I learned a lot about what really means a lot to me. And that is community. It's just, yeah.
So
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Orly. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say it sounds really epic, and sounds like you developed both. You got the best of both worlds, being able to still build community out there and have everybody still playing from Europe. From there, did you decide to go to Berlin and start rebuilding out there?
So I came back first in the Netherlands, and I was staying with a good friend of mine at a sort of farm. And it was amazing. I just had all my stuff laid out, and all the machines had to come over, which was a hassle, of course. But then I started to think, hey, you know what? I can stay here for now, but I think I'm young still. I should go to the city and experience impulses and live as long as I can do this, you know. So now I got by a lot of luck like an apartment, which is amazing to have all my stuff here, because I'm like that person that wants my stuff closed so I can roll out of bed and make music.
Right.
So but yeah, I start to learn to know a lot of people here, and very quickly I became part of, you know, the one of those Berlin. Yeah, what is it? There's no genre anymore for me. So it's like not techno, just a music person. Yeah.
Like the community. So then like just rolling into that, because I have some techie questions for you, but while we're on this path, so talk about your Tresor, because you're a resident, which is awesome. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, also something crazy. Like I believe a big time in manifesting things and not focusing on the thing you really want, but then it suddenly is there. So I played there already when I think it was 2016, and it was on a Wednesday, and I was like, this is awesome. And then I sort of thought, like, one day I think this will become a part of my life, and I don't know why, I just had this feeling. And then suddenly when I came over here, I played at one time, and it was so well received. And mostly the people that work in that night, they are actually the criticus, you know. They will feedback to the booker, like, hey, how did it go? And of course they test you first out, they put you on the latest spot to see if you can keep the people rolling, you know. And then they put you a bit in the beginning to see if that works as well. And so there were like some, like every club does probably, like little by little, you start to become a part of the whole club and family. And so the first year I was already a resident, and then now the second year as well, because now I'm playing more at Globus as well, which is upstairs, a bit more jungle. So they are embracing basically every part of who I am, and I think that's super rare.
That's awesome. I do get the vibe that it's like a family kind of vibe, like just with the history, you know, reading the history of the club and that. So just to give some context, not just to myself, but to those else who's listening, because now you're playing there. So keep in mind, you've been talking about cross genres, blurring of genres. Just curious, what are you playing?
In Tresor.
Yeah.
So if I play downstairs, I play quite heavily techno, more industrial, I would say, but not like the 150 BPM, which is quite a hype at the moment, which I can't follow. Yeah. But it's quite deep still and like trippy. But if I'm upstairs, I'm playing lots of like jungle break stuff, but still you can hear my techno IDM bits, and that's also probably if I play techno downstairs. So it's a blur, but I always try to create a whole story. Just basically, I'm doing that always. I feel I'm just a storyteller.
Yeah. I have a question for you. Are you playing live or are you DJing at Trezor?
So actually, mostly I play DJ, but I did play a live set, which was cool. But I started to realize that I like a live set where I can play different genres rather than a full techno one. I think I suddenly get out, like I still have ideas, but like if I can add a bit of jungle and all this stuff, it just creates a little extra hypey moment. So yeah, I'm sort of rebuilding that whole thing, but it's, if I'm playing, live, like dance floor, it's more, yeah, I'm playing with hardware only. But if I play electronica live, I play mostly also with my laptop. Yeah.
And are you, sorry, one more question, then she's all yours. Are you playing your own stuff? Like, are you, because I know you have four records out. I don't know if you put out more since bio, but are you playing your own stuff or are you playing other people's music as well?
So if I play live, it's fully my stuff, but it doesn't mean everything is always released, because I feel sometimes like every culture and every moment of the time slot you play has a different vibe. So if I'm playing in Amsterdam a live set, it's different than the UK. UK, I'm going way more bassy and jungle. And then in Amsterdam, I would go a little bit more electronica, because that's a big side of me. So then I can play that there. But if I'm in Berlin, I'm playing more techno. So I think it's good to really focus on the culture where you're going to play, because yeah, you want that connection. And if you can do it in your way, it's amazing.
So my question then is, being that you are playing and creating music in these different genres, I'm trying to find the words for the question. Like, there is some freedom, as you mentioned, right? Playing these different genres, but then do you ever feel a little lost in that? Like when you're trying to decide, is it a live set or are you going to play a book, a live set, or do you want to play a DJ set? Like, do you have a preference? I know it's a compounded question. So
yeah, I get it. It's like, but you can get the overwhelm of choice. And then, honestly, it depends on my machine. So now I'm playing a more compact live set, which I love, because I always was dragging all these bags with like hardware. And I was, yeah, the regular. Yeah. It's just so like, honestly, always breaks. And I just want to also travel easy with ease, but still, you know, of course, perform who I am. But I never get overwhelmed. The only thing is that my agent always says, you make your life so hard, you know, by always inventing the new thing and just always making a new live set. Or said, I know, but I make so quickly music. It goes like really quick. That for me, it's, I see the fun in it. You know, it's for me not like, oh, I need to make a whole new set. I'm like, nice, I can share again a story out of my life and connect with people, you know. So I guess I'm not overwhelmed. I'm only thinking now a little bit like, what will be my main focus, I would say. Like, where shall I excel in? And I guess it becomes electronica jungle, sort of.
Cool. So who are your influences then?
Well, it's a hard one, because I, as well, it's a mixture of all these different people. Like I listen to Enya, and I listen to like Genesis or Dire Straits, and I listen to Boards of Canada, Aphex Twin.
Nice. I love asking this question, because it's such a vast pool, you know, and it's always evolving.
Yeah, it's so true. And yeah, like Unit, like more the bassy stuff. And there's just so many, I have so many sort of heroes, but I could not say they influence my music. And that sounds really weird, but I see my life, I have a diary I want to sketch out. The only thing is, what I do get inspiration of is like the frequencies. So if they use a certain frequency pattern or like a lot of based off where are they in that frequency spectrum, what I should use, you know? But the ideas are completely different than I would put into my music.
Nice. So it's not so much like your emulation, but you're just, exactly. You're like listening and it influences you in a more of a outer way of, if that makes any
sense. Yeah, like technical more, I would say.
Thank you.
And for your records, where's your head at when you're saying, okay, this is what I'm recording live? Maybe like, does it stem from you start playing something and that's the mood you're in and that's the type of record that's coming out? Or do you have a more precise way of sketching out what's coming out for the rest of the year since you just released a jungle album then? Or is it morphing all of the genres into one?
So, yeah, it is. So I was thinking now actually more about this because I think it would be nice for myself to put some pinpoints for the year, what I want to make. So I definitely want to make a new album, which I can put any genre in, like having a whole story like Birds of Paradise. I love that for an album because an album is like a whole chapter, you know, it's like a whole story, a whole vibe I'm in. And that's mostly electronica with me or jungle. But I also want to still be in touch with the techno scene. So I would love to make another Blueprint release or maybe also an ambient one for more the film scoring world. So I do think practically about that. But in the moment, I do make whatever comes to me and then I will decide where does it belong. Because otherwise I put myself in this box and the most horrible thing as a Gemini can experience just being stuck in that box and you're like, I want to go out.
Yeah. It's also nice that, you know, we used to sit down and listen to records, like a full album, and there it was an experience and you would go in and out into different like worlds. So I think it would be a really cool thing to bring that type of experience back. I know that it's not necessary, very practical, money wise for, you know, all the reasons, because you could just have a quick release, but it would be a really cool thing to see. No,
it is. I think it will come back, you know, like I think
no, that was great. Yeah, we were talking about like just listening to albums and the pleasures of listening to something from beginning to end, and we need more of that. I feel like people are definitely going back, you know, goes along with the whole like tangible item now, even though we live in a very highly digital era, you know, there's also the, with that, I think we're getting the push and pull of, we want records. Like I'm not a vinyl DJ, but I buy vinyl, you know, or cassettes or things like that. And so I feel like there's definitely plenty of desires and for that, you know, like for those tangible items and listening to a full album from beginning to end.
Yeah, I think it's like if everyone is doing now that, then actually there's space to do the other thing again. And also I feel like everyone is, you know, we can't keep this pace up, I think. So I think the album listening or meditation just keeps us a little bit back to, you know, taking things a little bit more at ease and in ease. And yeah,
I mean, we're doing that anyway, right? Because when anyone is playing live, you're going to like hear an experience.
Exactly.
And so technically it's there. We're just not calling it that. And we're releasing things separately.
Yeah, it's true.
No?
I even had like a concert in Bristol the other day, and that band actually just mentioned, okay guys, we want you here, so I want you now to put this phone off and we let us be together. And I was like, nice, I should be doing that.
Awesome. You should try it.
Yeah.
So okay, so then that leads into this question. It's a tough one. If you could only DJ or play live, what would you do?
Oh, that's so hard.
Cut one arm.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I think life will be it, because I think life is myself, you know? DJing is also myself, but I play music from other people and I create a journey with that. But like, I think nothing hits home so hard if you, you know, perform your own music.
Right. Nice. I know that's such a tough question.
It
so
is.
I love asking it.
All the promoters are like, cancel. No. Cancel Nadia. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, no. But come on, your DJ sets. I mean, I'm really looking forward to hearing you at Tresor in May.
Yeah.
I'm super excited for Superbooth Weekend. But Orly and I both heard you in Amsterdam, your DJ set.
Oh, true.
You know, It just the way you, it was like, you opened that night for Colin Bender's Jaco played Blawan, right?
Yeah.
And it was perfect. Like, you know, like just the way you built it up and then just kind of took it to a point where it was just kind of moving and grooving along, but nothing so, in, like it was the perfect setup for Aww. The, you know what I mean? For to start the night and yeah, I think that probably goes to your DJ experience of just being, like you were mentioning Tresor playing the beginning, playing in the end. And there's probably something to that, being able to play the time slot you're given and playing it well, you know?
It's another, yeah, it's like a lot of DJs these days don't maybe know, but it's one of the most important, sets is building up. Like, you can't just drop the 150 and then think that people are like vibing it, you know? You need to like, okay, here is the music. And
exactly.
I think we were talking about this. You guys, I keep on referring because I did an interview with Nadia at ADE, if you guys want to go back and check it out. But we were talking about the fact that you had one of these like amazing experiences of being able to be supported by the clubs in Amsterdam that actually made the space for you guys to play these really big venues with people that were there to listen to you from the beginning. And so what was the first club that you played and how was the, you know?
Good question. So I think because I grew up sort of like in Rotterdam, right? So I think it's so hard, you know, my memory is really bad and I hate it, but I always think like, what was the first one? I know the first one, but after that it became a bit blurry. But with ADE, we have like the Dockyard Festival and like, we have like big pink pop and like Bass Pop and Wildeberg and Draaimolen Festival. We have a lot of festivals.
It's amazing.
So Paradigm would be it. It's in Groningen, which is amazing. An amazing place. Yeah, big.
Man, if I was reborn, I would be in Amsterdam. Mark my words. You guys are so lucky.
Yes, it's it was a good time. I mean, a lot of clubs sort of faded a bit away, but I do think there are new promoters getting
so it's
new
always
stuff
evolving
up.
And nice.
Definitely.
So we're right about the top of the hour, so just one last question: what advice would you give to somebody starting out that wanted to play live?
Nice one. I think like a very personal deep one, and that was told me when I was younger and I didn't understand it until maybe a few years back: stay true to who you really are and not chase that picture that you see with other people. And then with life, it means the same. Connect with gear or software that you feel and not because someone else is using that and it works for them. It needs to work for you. And that's with anything in life, I think.
Great advice. Great advice.
Yeah.
This has been amazing. I'm so happy that we got to have you as our guest, and we'd love to have you back in the future.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't even scratch the surface of technical questions. Sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah.
We need to have like a part two of this.
Yeah,
all technical, no deviations.
Maybe we should do a Q&A first to ask people to ask to pop in some questions or so, and then
yes, we that definitely would be super cool. Would we've talked about doing some other types of shows, and a live having you on for an actual live stream would be amazing. Wow. So we could talk about that. But yeah, no, thank you so much for being here, though. Appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. It was amazing.
All right, so that's Transduction Signal. I'm your host, Travarsi.
I'm Orly Gal.
Thank you for tuning in.